For she was his secret treasure, she was his shame and his bliss, and a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. Hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons license music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
So yeah. I probably should have sang that, but...
Probably should have.
I didn't really know what tune to go with.
Auto-tune.
Yeah.
Should have said the whole thing auto-tuned.
It works for Kesha.
I mean, Kesha rules.
I mean, T-Pain made a living, or makes a living off of...
Yeah, still does.
Being auto-tuned. Nobody knows what his real voice sounds like.
I can tell you.
So, who do we have on this week's... exciting, daring, let's see, genre-bending episode of Two Champs and a Chump.
My name is Brett Sauer.
My name is Daryl Lloyd.
Boobs, a.k.a. Kristen.
And my name is Willens.
As always.
This show is not a misogynist show.
Not.
We do all. Occasionally have women on. And I don't always make her read a really awkward quote to embarrass her when she's up.
But we should.
Not always. But you do enjoy making me, though.
Mm-hmm. I thought about it real hard for this week. The particularly awkward one from some character named Barbary Riswell, I think. I don't remember who the hell that is.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably could have looked it up on the wiki, but that's a whole lot of effort, you know?
Yeah, it's like type buttons and shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's already awkwardness going around this week anyway, so... No, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we've got a fairly exciting episode for our listeners this week.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't really been any exciting news out of the Great White North of FFG's headquarters.
There's
why has it got to be the Great White North?
Whoa. I think it's still snowing there, Daryl. Pretty sure I heard that.
Hey, whatever you say, man.
You show me some black snow, I'll consider converting.
Well, next time it snows, check underneath your car.
Dang
it. Point.
That's right.
You win. You're
damn right.
Okay, you know what? Let's just dispense with all the BS. Brett, I know all the listeners are just dying to hear you talk for a while.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they are. I think you've been teasing the listeners with information about an announcement.
Yep, welcome to our new segment.
Not all they've been teased with.
Ooh.
Hey-o.
Our new segment is Brett Reads the Bible. Brett, start us off with Genesis.
And lo and behold.
In the beginning, there was Daryl. That's right.
There was Daryl.
You know what?
God said, let them be light.
Kings. There's way more exciting stuff happening in Kings.
Is that when people are begatting people? Because I like that part of it.
Yeah, that kind of skips most of the begats. You get that stuff in Genesis. So.
About that's what I want to be saying.
Okay. What's that?
I like begatting.
I'm sure you're a big fan of begatting.
It's literally my favorite thing.
Does that have something to do with, like, shooting someone?
Well, yeah,
you can say that.
Look at that.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Biblical jokes.
Yes. Just didn't expect them from the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to go to hell for this.
Well, some of us were going already.
Most of us. Not by most of us, I mean literally all of us.
I mean, I don't know what you guys say. I go there at least once a month. They have a great day spa.
Those hot springs really really do it for you, Adio.
Yeah, yeah, it's really great. That and the masturbation sessions.
You know, I don't think I want to know any more about that.
All right, then. Well, I won't talk anymore, Brett.
Oh, see, I figured you were just going to do it anyway.
I thought about it. But I was like, you know what? That joke had just enough in it.
Yeah, yeah. Just enough to earn our not safe for work labeling. Or, sorry, it's actually explicit.
Explicit.
Things, but yes. I think it's obvious that means that we're not safe for work.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, so I'm saying something?
Yeah, what might listeners actually want to hear from you this week, Brett?
Yeah, I hope not very much.
Oh, well, okay.
I can't think of anything.
I guess we'll just wrap the episode right here and now, then.
And well, thanks that's for listening it.
To another fine episode of Two Champs and a Jump.
I mean, I guess we do have a spoiler we can talk about.
We have another spoiler?
We do.
Holy crap, this is like 2 weeks in a row.
I know, it's crazy.
Hey, you know what? Like let's another... not do the spoiler. Let's do it next week.
Yeah. You know, what were we going to spoil anyway? It wasn't anything important.
It wasn't anything important at all.
Just like some neutral card, right?
Some neutral card.
Nobody plays those. It's not
no,
like
I don't play
just
those.
A neutral faction or anything.
No.
Or like it's a brown bin plum, 2 cost, 0 strength.
Yeah.
I should have made a brown bin plum.
You did. Will you just tell the people about them already?
So, yes. We have my 2011 Joust Champ card to spoil this week.
Woohoo! It only took till most of the way through 2013.
That's true. And it won't even be out until most of the way through 2013.
Yeah, which pack is it in?
Pack 4.
Okay, gotcha.
Is it pack 4? Yeah, it's pack 4. I had to think about it for a second.
Yeah, it looks like it'd be the first card in pack 4, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's card number 61, and I'm too lazy to count that, but I'm sure the listeners will correct us.
I think that might be 3. That doesn't seem right, though, because it's in the one with, like, the wildlings and shit.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Definitely pack 4.
Okay, 1 through 20 is going to be the first pack.
Yeah.
20 through 40 is going to be the next pack. That'd be pack
8. Is it 1 through 20 or 21 through?
Oh, it's 1 through 20. Well, so, yeah, it looks like it is the first card in that pack, which is weird for having neutrals first.
First card in pack 4. Maybe it's all neutrals.
I don't think it's all neutrals. But yes. It is a unique character. 2 cost.
Listen to him building the suspense here. It's killer. Kristen can't contain herself. I can see her.
She rarely can around me.
This is so good.
But yes, 2 cost, 3 strength, a power icon. Its name is Cold Hands.
Holy shit.
I needed Daryl to like some kind of cool sound effect there, and he really didn't.
I was, dude. I almost did. That's so weird. I was like, I don't want to ruin this moment.
But I guess we should get to the really interesting parts.
Is it unique, or is this a non-unique cold
hand? It is unique.
Oh.
The unique cold hands.
I'm dying to know his trait. That's pretty important to me.
His trait is the North.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome.
I know. Cold hands cannot be saved.
Word.
Response. After you play Cold Hands from your hand, choose 1 non-army character controlled by each player, if able, and remove those characters from the game. When Cold Hands leaves play, return the removed cards to play under their owner's control.
Card designed by 2011 AGOT LCG World Joust Champion Brett Seiler.
That's the rest of the text.
Yeah, you left out the important part.
I did.
So, somewhere, someone is raging. And
is that someone that likes playing Brotherhood?
Yeah. I wish... Oh, man. Yeah, this... Go ahead, Brett. Tell us what you think about this.
Yeah, what led you down this direction? Are you overcompensating? Is this a midlife crisis as far as AGO goes?
I mean, to be fair, if your last champion card was Arrogant Contender, wouldn't you want to go a little crazy?
Probably so.
Yeah. Wasn't going to let that happen again.
Good plan.
But no, I love remove from like in Magic. I love remove from game effects like Oblivion Ring and shit like that. And that's something that's woefully underrepresented in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, this is number 2, right?
Number 3, I think, because Obara Sand removes herself from the game.
Yes.
The Drowned Prophet removes herself
from
the game.
Obara.
And then Cold Hands removes shit from the game. There may be one or like another, but not that I can think of. And yeah, so when I was working on cards, literally what I did is I just wrote up like 5 or 6 cards and sent them off to Nate, and to see which ones he dug most, or dug most, I guess is the correct tense.
Mm-hmm.
And we both came to the realization that Remove from Play affects rule. And so we went with this one. It initially started out as a Dick and Manwoody.
A Dick and Manwoody that removed people from the game?
Yes, that's what it was.
Wow, that's crazy.
But Nate convinced me that it needed to be neutral so that everyone could play it.
So he used that to talk you out of getting to use the name Dick and Manwoody.
I know. I'm sure he's saving up for something good.
Man, it better
didn't want me to use it first.
He's saving it for the year I win.
I'm sure that will never happen.
Yeah.
So, guys, what do you think about this card?
Well, hang on. Before we start to talk about it a little more,
okay,
do you want to go ahead and describe the art to us, or are we going to be able to plug this on the site?
I mean, we're going to put it on the site.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it up.
All right, that's fine.
Much like we did the other ones. But it's probably worth noting, you know, Brett, it appears to be very short in this card art.
Yes.
Is there at all?
Yes. I am kind of on the card.
Define kind of.
Well, there's a Child of the Forest in the right-hand side that's supposed to be me, but I don't know. It's not terribly clear, and it's not really the focus of the picture. It's definitely the focus more on Cold Hands and this elk. So it's hard to really tell, so...
Brett is a halfling. Well, yeah, I think it looks cool. But, what I think about this card is... good gravy. It's gonna be in like every deck ever.
This is really gonna alter both the Joust and the Melee metagame. This is gonna be pretty impactful.
Yeah. I mean, whenever you've got, you know, you've already got one for ones, Suri Zokart, you've got Jorah and Dario. Obviously this effect is different and it can be canceled.
Right.
But, you know, it's gonna work on everybody, pretty much, except for armies. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
I mean, that's probably good that it doesn't work with armies. So I'm so going to try and abuse him with good old Viper's Bannerman otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've got a question about him for Brad here. I mean, we've already got one Cold Hands in the game who cannot be killed.
Mm-hmm.
How did this one wind up cannot be saved?
Well, that's a funny story. I think that's an artifact of playtesting, because there was one of the very first versions of Cold Hands had that, and I think it just never came off.
Okay.
I think that's literally the reason.
Kind of like the Blackfish being...
House Serf only, yeah.
Gotcha.
So, I guess my question is, if someone removes your guy from the game and say it's a unique character, you can play him again, right? Okay, and then what happens when Cold Hand leaves and that character comes back?
I assume the other copy would immediately become a duplicate.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. That's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
It's the same as like running a duplicate of a character out of Shadows.
Yep.
Right.
Because Shadows, I guess, technically is out of play, so...
I mean, it's in play, out of play.
It's in Shadows. How's that?
Yes, it's in Shadows.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So let's say... It was a dupe, so it's in limbo right now. That unique character gets killed. So does that dupe come back out, or does it just get discarded?
Yeah, what would happen?
That's a fantastic question.
You play another copy, that character dies, and then Cold Hands leaves play?
Yeah, then what happens to the one that was removed from the game?
I imagine it would go to the discard pile.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's one for the rules lawyers.
Yes.
You would want to kill... that unique character, so it, you know, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, very possibly.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Speaking of cool, Daryl pointed something out a little while ago that kind of blew my mind at the time, and that's that this guy just owns Melee games.
Always really good at Melee.
Yeah.
Control's been getting a whole lot more teeth in Melee, and Cold Hands is going to reset a lot of people's power totals.
For three. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'd say you did pretty good.
Yeah.
I hope so.
You know, I kind of joked earlier that Brotherhood's going to hate it. You know what else is going to hate it? Maesters.
Yes.
You know, because all the attacks.
Yeah, all the chains just fall off.
Yep.
Great. Well, I think this will just encourage people to play more dupes. I imagine you can save from that.
I don't remember seeing removed from game in the list at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with Will. I expect it to be something that will be added, but I agree. I don't believe it is a list of things that can be saved from at this time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they added it. For a long time, Return to Hand was not on that list, and it got added, gosh, during the LCG era, right?
I think so, yeah. Maybe not. Because it was like that when I started playing it. I got in fairly early.
Gotcha.
And I mean, maybe not, because like with shuffling back in the deck with the Carrion Birds can't be saved from.
Touché, Salesman.
So, maybe not. I hope not. That'd be way cooler. Triplicated. Something awesome.
I'm sure that Cold Hands is going to be just a ton of fun. And I'm sure he's going to be the bane of many players for future games to come. But very cool. Hey, that new Stark event fucks him in the ass. Because he has more strength than cost.
He does have more strength than cost.
Indeed.
But by that time, the damage is probably already done. I imagine you wouldn't just use this just to get off some, you know, some chud. I this could be used for, like, a big-time power swing.
Yeah. Take away a character with a bunch of power on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you can always be stashing away one of your own characters that way for post-Valor.
Yep, that was actually Nate's favorite. That's what really did it for Nate when we were working on the card, is that you can, you know, stash away your most important character, Valor, and then have your best character still in play.
Yeah, yeah. Stash away like a moneylender on their side or something, and, I don't know, Asha Greyjoy on yours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, why Greyjoy would need that sort of effect rather than just a save, I don't know.
Maybe stash away a moneylender on their side and a Cersei Lannister on your side.
There you go. I almost used that example, but I thought, you know, using a mirror match in the sample, that seems kind of weird.
Stash away an Iron Islands brigand on their side and a Cersei Lannister on your side.
There we go. Much better.
Stash away a... I don't know. I don't have anything to add. Okay. I mean, there's tons of things.
Yeah.
Just think maybe something with a sweet come into play ability. I mean, just money.
Sir Jorah Mormont.
Dude.
Sir Aerys Okart.
Well, after a Valor, probably not such a great idea.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Well, Okart would be decent.
So just so you know, guys, actually, yes, Okart, like, you, some folks probably already saw that All Things Shaga deck that I had going with Summer Encampment to abuse Dale. If you've got some comes into play abilities like Okart or Jorah, whoever, you can do that same sort of cool stuff with Cold Hands.
Dude, Cold Hands and Dale rules.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. But yeah. I just went to go look up duplicates in the FAQ just to make certain. And this is actually what it says. It's been a while since I read it, so I'm glad I did go back. It says that the text from page 19 of the rulebook should read, if one of your unique cards is about to leave play, as a triggered response effect, you may discard an attached duplicate to save the unique card from leaving play.
Really?
This includes, but is not limited to, an effect that kills, discards, returns the card to hand, deck, shadows, or removes the card from game.
Well, all right, then. That answers that.
Yeah. I did not remember that they had that covered already in the FAQ, but it's good to know that they do. You know, thinking of returning Dale and copying his effect and whatnot with Cold Hands, something interesting came to me here looking at him. You can choose Cold Hands yourself to just infinite flicker him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know anything offhand that...
It wouldn't be infinite. It wouldn't be infinite. You have to play him from your hand, don't you?
Oh, yes, it is. Okay, so never mind. That does not work.
But yeah, but I mean, flicker him once, and I mean, if your opponent has a bunch of allies in play, and like a Jorah, and you have no allies.
Well, that's just cool. God tier yeah. situation. I mean, come on.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a great idea, okay. but it's possible.
Well, shucks. I was all set to say, man, it'll be great to wait and see when we could use that infinite flicker effect to actually do something, but never mind then.
Mm-hmm.
That won't work.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah.
I mean, looks great. I think we've said enough, don't you?
I'll be curious to hear what the listeners say. Yeah, how many copies will you include in every deck? Just one? Or are you going to go two or three? I'm leaning towards two, but it is a tough call.
Jeez.
Probably one, maybe two.
I mean,
one for sure.
Yeah, every deck will forever have one until... I shouldn't say until. If something, like, restricts our Ratism or something like that. Mm-hmm. That better not happen, FFG. He deserves this.
Well, you know what it rules with? Judge by the Father. Finally yeah, kill my cold hands, get him back.
Yes, yep. sir.
So, I mean, that could be worth two. Isn't there a... Does the new Stark event that brings a guy back? That just puts it in play anyways. That really doesn't matter. We want to bring him back to our hand.
But Mel's schemes if he gets discarded.
Yeah.
It's just Bera characters.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Bera characters only?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, you could retreat him, which will return him to hand when he dies.
True.
There you go. Or Patience him back. Oh, wait, that he... Well, before he dies?
Yeah. I mean, Patience could be useful so that you could basically change the target that he's taking mm-hmm. out of the game if something yeah. better comes up.
Something better comes up.
But yeah. I think a card like this is going to be pretty sick. I think it'll also affect Valor Morghulis being played, you know? I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes there's those situations where you've got a pretty good board position, but your opponent has a character with, like, 5-6 power on it, and you're just like, I don't want to take any chances. Let me Valor to get rid of that character, and you know, you take some casualties in the process. This is an answer to that if that character's unprotected. So, it's gonna be
it's a lot fun. Of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, up next, maybe we'll let Kristen have a brief word, because I think this won't be a crazy long segment. But I thought I might give her the chance to explain what the heck was up with that photo that she posted on Facebook the other day for the listeners.
Yeah, what the heck is up with that? Why is Rue looking so
bullshit? Brett wasn't there that night.
Yeah.
Daryl was probably too drunk to remember, so.
Go figure.
What happened?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a refresher course for the hosts.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Okay, so at our Thrones Regional back in May, Tulsa, Matt, and I decided to play pool, but we made things interesting by taking a bet with each other.
And doing some cocaine.
Lots.
No.
Lots.
No.
Off of Daryl's back. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's right.
So, if I won, Matt had to host seductively with Game of Thrones related for the podcast.
Because we've joked about doing some sort of sexy Thrones photo mm-hmm. for the cover photo before, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if Matt won, I had to. I was on top of my game for quite a while until the very end. You pulled out and won.
Ouch. So you lost this bet, eh?
I lost this bet. And so over the weekend, Will and I pondered some ideas and took some photos.
So, they were good. It was a fun photo shoot.
Yeah, definitely.
I liked throwing cards all over the bed.
Did you make it rain on her
weird
with these cards?
He did.
It was really fun.
Nice.
If you've never done it before, you really need to find an obliging girl to try that with.
Yeah. Making rain rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, the teaser was posted today, and there will be, I don't know, how many more photos?
I don't know, what, like 3 or 4 that we decided were good enough?
Probably.
Something like that. And, of course, one of them will be a new cover photo for the podcast.
Again, I'm going to throw this out there. Due to me having a really conservative family, there will be no tagging of myself in these photos, nor sharing them on my page or others' pages.
I already did both of those things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And I'm not sorry.
You.
Dude, this is America.
Yeah, freedom of speech, bitches.
And that's Facebook. I get tagged in all kinds of horse shit I don't want to be tagged in. Deal with it. So moving on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what else is terrible? Greyjoy. Greyjoy is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst house.
Yeah.
I'd never play Greyjoy.
Me neither.
Greyjoy.
You really ought to try playing Greyjoy. It's great.
It's fun.
You know why it's great? They didn't get anything restricted in that last update. Well, okay. Aside from the refugee.
Yeah.
That barely counts. Because they still have so many other great frickin' cards.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, this list was pretty hard to make.
What list is that? Just so the listeners know. Sure, that, what we're doing.
That would be the top 10 Greyjoy cards.
Gotcha. Now, what criteria are we all using to pick these top 10? I think that's worth pointing out, because I saw there was a response thread to our Lannister list over on CardGameDB, and, you know, people were talking about there's definitely some different criteria, you know, that folks might use, and different cards are better, of course, in different builds and stuff. Mm. So, just so we know, Daryl, what criteria were you using?
The criteria I was using was that the cards could pretty much fit in any deck, any archetype you are creating. I think that all the cards that I added could be put in any deck. There wasn't anything in there I don't think that you couldn't fit in some deck. So the idea is that the cards themselves are very well rounded. They may not always be the best card for your deck, but they are not going to hurt your deck at all. It's, you know, it's never a dead card.
Gotcha. Brett, what criteria were you using?
As always, all I care about is the best cards.
Okay.
So the best cards that Greyjoy has, the best.
I don't think you're helping.
I think I am.
I think he is as well, so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, similar to what Daryl was saying, the cards that'll go into every deck, and they'll be the best cards in every deck.
Yeah,
you're never unhappy to draw any of these cards.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards going into every deck being a pretty high consideration. I posted over in that Lanny thread that I said we in my post, but I guess more I just meant me. I think I was considering just general playability, so ability to go in basically any deck of that house, and you know, mix just their overall power level. And their ease of use, you know.
Yeah.
There's some powerful stuff like the Prophet we mentioned earlier, you know, ending the challenge phase is powerful, but that is not easy or efficient to use. So that's definitely a criteria for me.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a list of their best cards?
It is perhaps a list of their best cards. But obviously, listeners, we're not exactly clear on what our version of best meant.
You know,
so I wanted to embrace that discussion.
You know, the idea is, with the Lanny deck, if you're running Lanny Knights of the Hollow Hill for whatever god-awful reason, these cards could fit in it. If you're running Lanny Maesters, these cards would fit in it. You know, they could end up getting cut. Sure, that happens sometimes. You got to make those hard decisions. But these cards are still great cards. And they're great as a whole, and I think especially with the agenda, obviously you can't fit that into every deck, but you know, it's just so potent, they right. deserve to be on that list.
Okay, so Brett, you decided who read first last time. How about you decide again this week?
Well, you're gonna go first this week.
I'm going first. Okay, well, let's find out if we have the exact same list this time. I think we're gonna be different. All right, my first card. Alanis Greyjoy. This is going to be the champion cycle version, who is just freaking awesome. She's a queen that doesn't get turned off by other queens being in play, and it's not very hard at all to get her active with the three or more non-character cards in the discard pile. And then she just cancels anything. I mean, literally any triggered effect, which is huge.
She's also on my list.
She is not on my list. She does not have... She doesn't have a Noble Crest.
Yeah, she doesn't. But Greyjoy has a ton of saves.
Yeah.
Still doesn't have a Noble Crest.
And she can cancel almost any kill effect directed at her.
After there's three non-character cards in the discard pile.
Which happens after, like, the first turn.
Regardless. Yeah,
pretty much.
Sometimes on the first
turn. She's still good. She's good. She definitely almost made it.
Okay. Well, we'll see about the next card, then. My next one is going to be the Asha Greyjoy, also from the Champion Cycle. She is just super efficient. Again, not all that hard for that trigger to be active, and it's the same one, the three or more non-character cards. And she's just a really beefy challenge phase character. Like we mentioned about Cersei in the Lannister top 10, not kneeling in this game is pretty big, and Asha lays the beats down.
Yes, totally on my list.
She is absolutely on my list. And in fact, had I not been limited to only Lannister characters, Asha Greyjoy may have made the top 10 Lannister list.
Yeah, that would have actually been really tempting. In fact, there's another card on my Greyjoy list that I wanted to put on that Lanny list really badly. But we'll get to it.
But yes, no, Asha Greyjoy is incredible. She's the number one on my list.
She's great. She's not number one on my list, but she's fantastic.
Yeah, I did not put mine in any particular order.
Mine was just the order that I thought of them, and she was the first one I thought of.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
My next one, this one might get some disagreement from you guys. I don't know. This is going to be the Distinguished Boatswain.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely on my list.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I mean, he is the most efficient weenie in the game.
Poster boy for efficiency.
Yeah, exactly. 1 for 4. There's not a ton of shadows floating around right now, so most of the time he is the 1 for 4. But even still, at 1 for 2, with a couple icons and no negative traits or anything, is still rocking.
I mean, a positive trait, Ironborn.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if there are shadows and he's in play, yeah, he gets -2. But you have those naval attacks that you can easily throw in more power.
Yeah, he's a great chump attacker for the naval stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Throw him in and then see what they block with and throw in naval guys afterward.
I mean, even then, just his presence on the board, your opponent has to think about taking their cards out of shadows. And, mm-hmm. and yeah. or if he is on the board, they have to think about trying to put cards into shadows, all for this one-cost guy. Yeah, he's great.
And he doesn't die zero or anything. So, you know, if they ever bring those cards out of shadows, then he just pops right back,
back up.
Yep, fantastic.
Absolutely on my list.
Okay. All right, next one then. Maester Wendemir. Of course, he's maybe not the easiest Greyjoy save, but he's widely applicable. You can search him out with at the gates. He saves from kill or discard, which is important in Greyjoy since many of their effects are just save from kill. The Maester trait is relevant. You know, Daryl mentioned cards that go in any Greyjoy deck, and Wendemir is one of my very, very first pulls for any Greyjoy deck I build.
He's absolutely on my list. Well, you also forgot he has potential stand effects as well.
Yeah, he does indeed. And it's worth pointing out, if you can stand him with his own response effect, then he can still kneel in the save cancel response window to save another character.
Yep.
Which is Windy is a baller, and yes, he's absolutely on my list as well.
Wow, we're going to be really similar this week then. All right, next card, Newly Made Lord. This is the one that I wanted to put on the Lanny list, because he has a great home over there with all their gold production, and fills that hard-to-fill location destruction hole. It's another champ card, and he's just great at what he does, which is blow up key locations.
Yeah, Newly Made Lord's amazing. He's not on my list, though, and he barely didn't make it.
Really, man? Two positive traits also?
No, he's fantastic. He is, but I cut him for a card that I thought should see more play that I think is excellent.
So. Okay.
Dude, well, he's absolutely on my list. Who are you kidding?
Okay. Have we had any cards different yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
You guys
there's at least one on my list that I think is going to be different. Okay. At least one.
We'll see. I bet this next one is on at least one of your lists. Even though it takes a little bit more work to set it up, this is one of the most powerful cards in the game. And if I see it across the table from me, I am desperately searching for an answer immediately. Do you guys have any guesses on what it is?
Dude, it's Wintertime Marauders.
Totally.
They are absolutely on my list.
Yeah, they absolutely are. These the most... God, they just have the biggest nuts, you know? Just the backbone of Greyjoy.
Yeah, yeah. You got to make it winter, but... that is such a wide-reaching ability.
Mm-hmm. Any non-unique card, gone.
Which does include duplicates.
Does include duplicates.
Which means you could set up somebody to get cold-handed next turn.
You can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, once you get, like, two of those guys out, it's over.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's
you,
over.
You have to have, like, a hyper Neil or icon removal deck to keep them out of challenges. Or, okay, burn. Burn can do everything. But,
I mean, unless you have Risen from the Seas of Mokoro's.
Yeah. Well, Mokoro can't save it because it's not unique.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. But cancels may be able to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So.
No, yeah, no. Once Wintertime Marauders hits the board, your opponent needs to be able to control it every single turn. If they get a single turn off with that, it's enough to turn a game around.
Yeah. And it's true that you do need it to be winter, but if you're playing Greyjoy, there's a 90% chance you're going to play winter. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not playing winter, though you lose all the other positives you get from these guys, they still have a Warcrest, which have some great triggers.
90%. I mean, Greyjoy TLV seems to be the deck du jour right now.
Which runs winter.
It should. If it doesn't,
mine you're doing is running it wrong.
And I was real happy with how it played. And Kristen has played it several times.
Greyjoy?
It should be winter.
Greyjoy is about all I play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
anyway. I'm sad that Victarion isn't in there.
Yeah.
Victarion's a hoss.
I didn't let Kristen spend enough time to come up with a top 10 list as well. My bad.
You didn't let me know.
But when she saw mine, she definitely griped that the Naval Victarion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That the Naval Victarion was not on there.
Yeah, that guy's dope.
And he is real freaking good.
He's a hoss, but I also, I'm obsessed with Fleet from Pike 2. With most people running agendas, and, you know, you get a Sunset Sea up there, 7-cost character now only costs you 2. And he's also a hoss. Plus Naval, plus just awesome text. I love him.
Handy. I like Victarion better, because the claim raising is just crazy, but...
Yeah.
The army's pretty rad for the price.
Dagmar is also one of my favorites.
Alright, what's next?
Are you ready for the next card?
Yeah.
For the next card.
I bet this is on your list as well. Longship Iron Victory.
Duh.
Best draw card that Greyjoy has.
Ridiculous.
And the, to help
me except for TLVs.
Well, yeah, sorry. that is actually a Greyjoy affiliated card. And yeah, just real handy all around. And I've never actually run into a situation where it gets knelt at the end of the marshalling phase because I didn't have a Greyjoy character.
Never happened.
Which doesn't really matter anyway, because if I didn't have, you know, Greyjoy characters in my Greyjoy deck, I'm probably not going to be winning challenges anyway, which I need to do to draw off of LIV, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, LIV is incredible. Another card that is in, like we were saying earlier, part of my list of being in every Greyjoy deck, LIV is in every Greyjoy deck I have ever made.
Agreed.
And I don't think I will ever make one without it.
Sometimes multiple copies, which is saying something.
Yeah, usually multiple copies.
Unique location.
I usually run two copies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, this next one was a really hard decision on my part, because there were several vying for this spot, but I wound up settling on just going with the classic Iron Mines. Non-limited, amazing on setup with the zero cost, location keeps it fairly safe on the board these days, and just straight up easily saves one of your dudes from being killed. It's again a staple in all of my Greyjoy decks, no matter what else the deck wants to do. sometimes Iron Cliffs is super powerful and has some neat things you can do if you can bounce it, but sometimes it doesn't make the cut for one reason or another, but Iron Mines basically always does.
Yeah, also on my list.
Also on my list. Yeah, it makes the cut. I mean, Iron Cliffs makes the cut in all my decks also, but it's usually a 2X because it is terrible on setup. Iron Mines, I would play 5 copies if I could.
It's phenomenal on setup. And I know maybe several 60. People, including former world champ Matt Lay, who have fairly regularly run Iron Mines out of house in other houses for the save because it's that good.
Yep.
I'd do it.
Yeah. Okay, down to the last two on my list. This one may be surprising. It's going to be Fishing Net. And this is one that I think has just recently changed because of the way the environment has become lately, with the restriction of Tin Link attachments, both positive and negative, are way more viable, which ups Fishing Net. But also, it just owns characters that want to be in challenges. And with the aggro-heavy meta we're in right now, Fishing Net is just point-and-click removal without needing to win a challenge or anything. They can't attack or defend, and they don't even get to count for dominance either. Like, that character is just doing nothing from there on out. And it's a weapon, so there it can even hit a few other characters that these sort of attachments normally can't. I think it's pretty awesome at the moment.
It is absolutely not on my list. Most of my Greyjoy opinions come from the Greyjoy Choke TLV deck that I played at our regional.
Uh-huh.
I did play 2 copies of Fishing Net in that deck. I played literally 0 copies all day, even though I saw it in almost every game.
Yeah, I'd have to say that Fishing Net totally saved my ass in a game, and Fishing Net is a good card, absolutely, but it is not on my list. Maybe I'm still recovering from the Tin Link's reign of supremacy, but currently not on my list.
I mean, it's a fine card, but it's not a top 10 card.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we go. I've got the last card, and this one I'm fudging a little bit. I cheated, and I only realized I was cheating because I was searching for it on CardGameDB to add it on my list here. That last card is Finger Dance.
That's not actually a Greyjoy card.
Yeah, that's not a Greyjoy card, brah.
Yeah, it actually isn't, but since the Ironborn trait right now only appears in Greyjoy, I'm lumping it in there anyway. Because
I think I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Seductive Paramus is great, but that I think would wind up going in the neutral cards for sure, since it doesn't even mention Ironborn.
I still like it.
That's a good card.
Finger Dance is cool. Easy to trigger.
I could never
stop stuff
in my deck. I could never draw it.
Well, it is an 85 card deck, so every once in a while you just won't see stuff. That screwed me with my Martell deck in the top 8.
Finger Dance is not on my list.
It is absolutely not on mine.
It's an all. It's a good cancel, but it's not Greyjoy's best cancel.
Oh, that's a lot. True.
No,
it's not Greyjoy's second best cancel even.
I thought. Okay.
Are you really gonna go with Rise or not Rise? Sorry.
To be a Kraken.
To be a Kraken.
Whatever.
Yeah, to be a Kraken is absolutely on my top 10.
Really, man, you have to use up a restricted slot right now to reliably use it. There's just not another great military battle to start out with.
I mean, yes, you have to use your restricted card.
We'll talk about it more later. This was a Finger Dance conversation.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Correct.
Well, Finger Dance, easy trigger, stops any event, not just, ones without influence or gold costs or that sort of thing, and has the potential of shuffling back into the deck to be seen again, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
And it's about a 50% chance in most decks to be shuffled back in, which is pretty solid.
Right.
Now I just get Ironborn.
What differences were there on your list?
All right, so cards that were on my list that were not on Brett's. First one is Maester Mirrenmyr.
Well, it was Will's list that...
Maester Mirrenmyr
is absolutely on my list.
I thought, absolutely. Absolutely. There is so much utility to be had with him. It's ridiculous. He's going to be in every Greyjoy deck just about he's just fantastic. I mean, even as much as somebody like playing like a Seat of Power or something, you're just like, yeah, cancel that shit, dog. Or Castellum of the Rock, cancel that shit, dog. I mean, unless they were trying to kneel Maester Miramir, then everybody wins. But regardless, you still canceled that shit, dog. I don't know. I just love him. He's great. He's fun. He has a great cost to ability ratio. Just fantastic.
Yeah, he has the ever important intrigue icon in Greyjoy. He was in the Greyjoy I could play in the original. He was two X. If I was going to go back and retweak that deck to play today, I'd up it to three. He was an MVP every time he was in play.
Yep.
I never wasn't able to use him in the Marshall phase.
Man, I always wind up wanting to use him to cancel stuff in the challenge phase, or at best, I'm canceling a street or something, which gets into some dicey territory. If you are playing a pretty heavy choke deck, then yeah, that's probably worth it. If you're not, then you're not. Then I at least am uncertain about giving him up for challenges. Like you said, the intrigue icon isn't exactly Greyjoy's strongest.
There's just so much happening in the marshalling phase. I don't think I ever wasn't able to use him on something, and most of the time it wasn't even for like a resource farm.
Yeah,
it was usually canceling like Daryl said, like a, well, not necessarily to sound like an enemy informer or a Viper's Bannerman.
Yeah, just all kinds of stuff. You can catch people with events and stuff. Like you play like some a distraction or a
dissension.
Dissension, that's what I meant. And somebody like paper shields, and you're just like, yeah, cancel that shit, like. It's just money. Just money.
Here are my rules.
Next up on my list is the Spar.
I wanted to put him on my list, actually.
I just adore the Spar. Maybe not quite the most cost-efficient fellow, but he can really wreak havoc on your opponents. Even if you're not doing a choke build, necessarily, he can still really get in there. I'm not sure if
in a choke deck, he's a 3X. Every single time, 3X happens to the Spar. Outside of a choke deck,
annoying.
Because he is so cost inefficient, I don't think I'd play him.
Still an Ironborn and a Raider, though.
He is an Ironborn and a Raider.
And melee is deceptively good.
Yeah, it can be deceptively good, that's for sure. And you're hitting your opponent's income and initiative. I just think he's fantastic.
I mean, I absolutely aspire in a choke deck, like I said. 3X copies, no questions asked. So that's the first 3 cards that'll go into choke deck.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one on my list is more akin, again, another one that's more akin to a choke deck, but another one that I still really, really like, even not necessarily playing choke, is Burned and Pillaged. So, obviously, it has some drawbacks, being that it's a condition attachment and it's limited, but there's enough hindrance in there that it's totally worth to put in your deck. Even if choke isn't your thing, I just think there's plenty of good things that Burn and Pillage brings to the table.
It is a pretty solid card, but I'm not sure I'd really be going for it outside of choke.
Yeah, I'm with Will on that with that one. Outside of choke deck, I don't think I'd play it. It's it and the Spar fill similar roles. And don't get me wrong, they're both really good in choke decks, but outside of that, I don't think I'd see either of them in any micro decks. However, it is worth mentioning that with the changes to how gold bonuses work, gold bonuses and gold penalties are two separate things, it is significantly better now that it can affect Knights of the Hollow Hill.
Yes.
And my last card is probably absolutely not going to be on anyone's top 10 list. Maybe not anyone's in the world, but after having some serious success with this guy, and though he needs a little bit more help and support from other cards in your deck, I still think he's just absolutely fantastic, and that would be Andric the Unsmiling.
I do love Andric.
I mean, I've just gotten it off so many times in the past few games I played.
You've gotten him off a lot of times?
I've gotten him off a lot of times. And he's just so good. And yes, he has the, you know, you have to win by four or more total strength as a prerequisite, but it is still so good. So good whenever you can, like we were talking about, destroying locations you pinpoint certain locations to destroy and you're just hammering your opponent on. I mean, it's really putting the icing on the cake. It's a win more card.
Lord and Sleep from Pike are fantastic together if you can get them to combo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take out whatever you want and steal it.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, if Newly Made Lord didn't exist, Andrew could be a lot worse. But because he does, you get to choose and be like, hey, you know what I want right now? And that Lanny Iron Throne you just play.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'll blow up my Newly Made Lord, win a challenge by 4 with Andrew, and get him back. Every once in a while, you can live the dream like that and have that happen. For the most part, you're getting a seed.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not necessarily a I win card. It's just a win more card. You're probably already dominating in the game if you're pulling this off. I just can't say enough good things about this card, and I hope he sees more play. It's just fun. It's just such a fun, fantastic card. So
I mean, I play copy in my deck. So I mean, he's good, but he's not game breaking.
Agreed.
So I have this one card on my list. It's to be a Kraken.
Oh really?
So, to be a Kraken is, in my opinion, the best cancel in the game. Maybe tied with Lanny Iron Throne.
I mean, it's
pretty
good.
But it hits way more than the Iron Throne.
What if you don't have any kneeling Ironborn?
Well, it's not Greyjoy only Ironborn, characters. It's just kneeling Greyjoy characters.
Yeah, whatever.
We have some characters that, you know, kneel themselves to do things like aforementioned Maester Mirren Mirror. Or yeah. you get extra use out of Guys and Challenges. City of Sin is really popular right now.
Yeah.
It's a money card. That's right. You have to use your restricted slot on Fury of the Kraken, which is a really good plot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's pretty good.
It discards any Targaryen or Stark card when you win a military challenge. Targaryen is the second most popular ass right now. And it's by a fairly close margin behind Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, throwing something in the discard pile against Targ is not necessarily a huge detriment.
I mean, gets it off the field for now. I mean, yeah, they may have some recursion, but at that point, why are you even bothering killing any characters ever? Why don't you just concede the game?
Well, also the idea of just canceling events.
I mean,
in general,
not events.
Just excellent.
Triggered abilities.
Right. Right. Yes, but to use it on canceling events is still just fantastic too. So.
Oh yeah.
That card is money 100% of the time. As long as it's turn two.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe the best cancel in the game, if not tied for best. I can't think of one I would rather have than that, aside from maybe the Lanny Iron Throne.
I do really love the Iron Throne. And yeah. With Cold Hands entering the environment before long, the throne's value only goes up.
As does to be a Kraken.
As does Andric the Unsmiled.
Unless they play Cold Hands turn one.
No, that's fair. If they play Cold Hands turn one, then they're probably not getting much terribly important.
So
also, Mason Rimmer is really good against Cold Hands.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Yes, indeed.
Greyjoy's just going to become stronger. Just going to become more played. And they're going to play their own Cold Hands.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
And they're going to cancel your canceling of Cold Hands.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle.
And then, yeah, cancel your canceling.
What a mess.
So, yeah, we got a little more conversation on our Lanny list, since mine and Will's lists weren't the exact same. They were two cards different.
They were sure close, though.
But, yeah, more discussion than we had last week, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, go team.
Go team. Pitcher.
Props and slops.
Yeah.
Props and slops. Here, I'll start us off.
Okay.
Alrighty. Time for some props and or slops. Oh, wait. You want me to do props and slops? That you want me to, like, introduce it?
I mean, you did introduce it. That's fine.
Okay.
Now do a proper slop.
Oh, boy. Daryl's props. I guess the first prop that I'm going to have today is going to be to the game Dishonored. I recently acquired that game.
Yeah,
I should say Robin acquired it.
I've been playing through Dishonored as well.
Yeah. It's really fun. I don't know if it's a game that's necessarily going to have, like, a ton of replay value or anything like that.
I mean,
but
there's what, two endings? High chaos and low chaos?
Basically,
I don't know. I thought there was more. No, is that it? Okay. Well,
I don't know. I haven't read closely on it. You playing it high or low?
I'm doing low. I'm trying at least.
Ditto.
Has there been more than one death?
Yes.
Then you don't get the best ending. If you get the best ending, you can kill exactly one person throughout the entire game.
Okay. Then there are more than just two endings, though.
I mean, there might be three.
Okay.
Because I
have killed more than that. I'm probably under 10, but I've definitely killed more than one.
Jesus. That's depressing. Well, now you just shit all over my prop.
Oh, it's still a fun game.
Yeah, no, now I'm sad because I want to get the best ending because Corvo Atano is, like, the best.
Yeah, Corvo rules.
Yeah, it's just a sweet mix. Like, Corvo, even being a mute character, you feel like you you know this guy. Like, you absolutely just care about what is happening to him. And it's just a sweet mix of stealth action. Or it can just be action. Or stealth.
Yeah. I'm trying real hard on the just stealth. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I love stealth gameplay.
It gets real boring waiting for guards to, you know, move properly sometimes.
I'm just sleep with that crossbow, dog.
Yeah. I definitely... Actually, sleep darts are more often my oops button. It's a crap, I walked up behind a guard and accidentally made noise before I could choke him out. And he just turned around. Sleep dart! And of course, I got the perk or whatever, so they're instant out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
any game where you get to have a sword in one hand and a crossbow in the other just screams of money. Mm-hmm. So,
or a magic power in the other hand. Blink is pretty phenomenal.
Oh, Blink's that's insane. So
the
if
first
you have
thing you do in that game isn't get Blink level 1 and Blink level 2, then you're doing it wrong, because that is the most useful power you'll have
Absolutely.
Throughout the entire game.
Yeah, if
I don't know. Dark Vision's pretty dang good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Maybe Blink level 1, Dark Vision level 1, Blink level 2.
Yeah, that's how I do it. That's how I did it. But regardless, if you have not played Dishonored yet, go and at least rent it. Seriously, pause the podcast, go out to your local Redbox or whatever, and go grab that game and play it. You will not be disappointed. It's cool. It's sort of steampunk-esque also. Very, very fun.
Oh, yeah. I would call it like steampunk Moby Dick.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way oil.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
All right, Will, what's your prop?
Actually, I would have propped Dishonored if you hadn't grabbed that, but I have a slop. I'm going to slop a book that some of you may have seen me complaining about on Facebook the other day. I'm going to slop Wayne of Gotham by Tracy Hickman. I saw a few DC, like, novels on sale on the Nook store the other day. So I bought that and, like, The Last Days of Krypton and something else. And I thought I'd start reading that one first when I finished reading Partials by Dan Wells, which was real good. And it is just kind of terrible. About 20 pages in, I was not sure if I was going to continue. Tracy, I assume, is a she, though I have heard of guys with that name.
It's a guy.
It's a guy? See? Yeah. Fair enough. Well, regardless, Tracy has totally jacked up characters in this bizarre way that doesn't feel very, very faithful to the Batman characters and stuff. I don't know, just... He's got this kind of super suit on that makes him seem more like Iron Man to me. And he goes into this long, like, page and a half description about the pseudoscience about it that was just terrible. I mean, I like Star Trek, so I like pseudoscience, but it was terrible. And just the characterization seems way off. Like, Batman just kind of seems to hate Alfred, which is weird. Like, at best, he finds him really annoying and doesn't want him around. And he's, like, set up this persona. Like, Bruce Wayne has not been seen in, like, 20 years. But it's supposed to be, like, as best I can tell, like, present-day timeline. But Bruce Wayne, like, graduated college and then disappeared. And he's put this persona out there that he's, like, crippled and has to be wheeled around in a wheelchair and stuff. Which just feels weird when I'm used to, you know, the Bruce Wayne that goes out and pretends to be the party boy and stuff. I don't know. Whatever. Don't read it.
I didn't listen to it. I was never heard of it before you complained about it.
Yeah.
Well, I have a slop, and it's to me for not playing The Walking Dead 400 days yet. I've had it downloaded since Friday. I just haven't had the time to sit down and actually get through it. That's really unfortunate, because I really want to play that game.
Yeah, don't spoil it for me. I still have to play through episode 5, but I got distracted playing Dishonored first.
That'll happen. So Walking Dead 400 days. Hopefully by this time next week I'll have it played.
Awesome. I think Kristen started to say she had something.
I have a prop.
Okay.
Props to Damon. Because he made an awesome Netrunner card after me. So I feel a little special. So
is your name on it?
Damon Stone.
Yeah, is your name on it?
If your name's on it, then I believe it's you. I don't think you had anything to do with that card.
I don't think so either. This sounds like a fabrication.
Yeah.
Damon put me on a card once, too. It's called Brown Bin Plum. That's what it is, dude. That's me. That's obviously me.
Damon put me on a card once.
Twice, actually.
No, he's not really on cold hands.
Yeah. I should just start telling people that I'm cold hands and you just can't see my face.
Will still doesn't good have call. Card.
Aww.
I don't know. I still say I look like the dude on that Lord of the Rings card, but...
Oh, dude, I want to play some Lord of the Rings. Anywho. I have another slop. Or no, I guess I have a slop. And that would be slops to me. Because I keep on starting to read books, and then I don't finish them. Mm-hmm. And then I move on to another book.
Yes.
Which is just ridiculous. I need to get better about this. And that's really it. I'm overall just a degenerate.
You are.
Myself. If it ain't a moving picture, I ain't interested. So, slops to me. Read books, bitches. Read a fucking book. Do yourself a favor. And go out and read a damn book.
Turns out they're good.
Is it like a book about games?
What?
A book about games is what you want us to read?
A book about games?
That doesn't
sound
terribly interesting.
I like books about games.
I said read a damn book.
Yeah, so a book about dams?
Sure. Yes, read a book about all the different types of dams. I don't care what kind of book it is. Just read a book. I've got this badass H.P. Lovecraft collection here that I'm gonna fucking read it. I don't know what my problem is. I need to read some damn books. It's good for you. Brain food, some would say. Maybe not. Anybody else?
Will, do you have anything else?
You know what? I don't think I actually have anything else right now, which is weird, but them's the breaks.
I do have a prop slot.
Ooh, a twofer.
A twofer. It is to Alphas Season 2.
Is that it?
I talked about it last week, and I've been watching a couple more episodes. I think I'm a little more than halfway through the season, and I'm still unsure about how much I like it. I really want to like it because I really like the premise of the show, and the overarching plot's really cool, but they're still kind of stuck in the villain of the week thing, which gets tiresome. So yeah, every week there's a new villain they have to deal with, and then it's just like 5 minutes at the end of the episode or 10 minutes here and there. They're actually dealing with the overarching plot, which is actually kind of cool. So it just seems like the show is confused as to what it wants to do.
But I'm sticking
with it. I really like the premise of the show. The characters are all pretty cool. I'm really hoping to get somewhere good by the end.
I still need to give it a shot.
The first season's really good. Second season, I'm really hoping it's going to be good.
Sweet.
Anyone have anything else?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't either. So thank you for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs, One Jump.
If you have any ideas for the show or anything like that, you can email us at twochampsonechump@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at twochampsonechump. Is there anything else I'm missing? Google Plus is still a thing. Our Facebook page, twochampsonechump.
Which is the best way to get all of us.
Yes, the very easiest and bestest way. So feel free. We will not mock. We will not print off your email and watch it and laugh at you and talk about how stupid your idea is. We will take it into consideration.
Unless it's a really bad idea.
Then laugh at you. So feel free. I think that's it. Somebody email Greg to tell him to come back onto the show.
Agreed.
He did try calling while,
Slaps the heck out of him.
In the middle of this.
I specifically want to hear what you all think about Cold Hands. Hopefully you like it. Otherwise, I'll cry.
Mm-hmm.
No, you won't. You'll play it.
We're going to post the picture up on the Facebook page on Friday when the episode goes up. So let us know there your thoughts. It makes me feel good about myself when you like my things. Santa's on.
You were on top and he pulled out.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Wow.
And he won. That's what winners do.
Pull out.
And you were watching the entire time, too.
Yep. I enjoyed it.
God, that was so dirty. That made me feel uncomfortable.
Really awkward. Definitely going to edit some of that.
Nah.
I think
probably not. The listeners will like it. Easter egg.
Yeah, I think it's perfect.
Okay.
Oh God, I can't.
Pretty sure I would get disowned.
Yeah, well, you've almost been disowned for your tattoos too, so
might as well just make it official.
Yeah, whenever you got that saying that I created tattooed on you, I was really
inspired. Inspired. Yeah, he doesn't say that for years.
Yeah, ask all the guys who played Thrones back in 2010. Since then, I've just been like, inspired, dude.
Yeah, he thought it right after he thought of draw equal win.
Yeah.
It's actually in the same sit-down that he came up with both of those.
Yeah.
It was actually a lot better than draw equal win, but I kind of wanted it to be my special thing.
And now it's been ruined.
Stole it. Yeah, now it's been ruined. It's been sullied.
Daryl, prepare to get junk punched tomorrow.
Whatever that is, I'm into it. Aspire to inspire. We're now going to end the show. Instead of saying Danger Zone, we're going to say, Aspire to Inspire.
I'm actually down with that.
Or it's like, Aspire to Inspire!
Hey, you know, actually, I kind of like it when you say it that way.
Yeah, that sounded terrible.
Yeah.
It did. You were terrible.